Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, July 11th, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador joins lawsuit by several states to reverse Biden administration rule preventing discrimination against trans and non-binary people in health care. Northwest Power and Conservation Council says region's electrical grid will be pushed to its limits in 5 years if data center industry growth keeps at current pace. U.S. Supreme Court declines to take case of California dredge miner who appealed his Environmental Protection Agency fines for polluting Idaho's South Fork of the Clearwater River. And Pullman mayor says project downtown construction halfway done. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador, on behalf of the state, added himself to a lawsuit by seven attorneys general challenging a Biden administration rule that preempts the state's restrictions on gender-affirming care. The new rule, which was set to go into effect in some cases July 5th, prevents health care providers who discriminate based on gender identity or sexual orientation from receiving federal funding through Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, also known as CHIPS, and other programs. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is a defendant in the lawsuit. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey filed the lawsuit in Eastern Missouri Federal Court District. In the Eastern Missouri Federal Court District Wednesday, arguing the rule conflicts with state rules prohibiting necessary gender-affirming care for minors, which often can prevent suicide among trans teens who have a much higher than average suicide rate. Idaho's new law actually criminalizes doctors giving necessary gender-affirming care to minors, including prescribing puberty blockers and hormones, with penalties of up to 10 years in prison. Although an appeal by the American Civil Liberties Union representing Idaho families is making its way through the courts, the U.S. Supreme Court in April ruled Idaho can enforce the law pending a final decision by the courts. Idaho also has a new law prohibiting the use of Medicaid money for adults who need gender-affirming care. That law is on hold for the seven transgender citizens who sued under a temporary restraining order from Federal District of Idaho Chief Magistrate Judge Raymond Patricio, but it is in effect for anyone else. The seven attorneys general who are suing the Biden administration over the rule preventing discrimination in Medicaid and federally funded health care are from Missouri, Idaho, Utah, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Arkansas. The Missouri Independent reports each of the states have varying restrictions on payments for gender-affirming treatment. Missouri rules do not allow payments for gender-affirming care for adults through Medicaid or the CHIP program. The attorneys general wrote in the lawsuit, states will be unable to enforce these duly enacted laws and longstanding policies without coming into conflict with the rule. Another coalition of attorneys general got a federal judge to block implementation of the Biden rule on July 3rd. In that case, the federal judge cited the decision in June by the right-wing majority of the U.S. Supreme Court that overturned the long-standing Chevron deference, which gives federal agencies regulatory authority in cases where the constitutionality of state laws is unclear. The American College of Pediatricians, which is a group of 400 physicians and healthcare providers with a history of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, signed on to the lawsuit as a plaintiff along with seven attorneys general. The attorneys general wrote, American College of Pediatricians members categorically do not provide medical interventions or referrals for and do not facilitate or speak in ways that affirm the legitimacy of the practice of gender transition. The lawsuit says the pediatricians who are members of the organization would suffer, quote, significant financial harm to lose eligibility to participate in federal health care programs such as Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP. A pediatrician in Utah is quoted in the lawsuit saying he would not self-censor his opinions on transition efforts if the rule goes into effect. The lawsuit says the Utah pediatrician, quote, faces the prospect of no longer caring for his patients, being fired from his employment, and being unable to practice medicine in most settings. The lawsuit also says the rule violates physicians' freedom of assembly, quote, by coercing them to participate in facilities, programs, groups, and other health care-related endeavors that are contrary to their views and that express messages with which they disagree. It goes on to say, by forcing American College of Pediatricians members to tell patients directly on their walls and on their websites that they do not discriminate on the basis of gender identity, the rule forces American College of Pediatricians members to speak falsely, and it forces American College of Pediatrician members to fatally undermine their communication of their own medical ethical standards. The lawsuit also argues the Biden administration rule goes beyond congressional authorization by including gender dysphoria as a disability and by interpreting the term sex discrimination to include gender identity. The Missouri Independent reports the Biden administration rule preventing discrimination leans on decisions by some courts transferring the 2020 U.S. Supreme Court case in Bostock versus Clayton County, in which the majority of justices decided gender identity is protected under Title VII, which applies to employment discrimination, to Title IX and the Affordable Care Act. The attorneys general write in the lawsuit that judges from Republican-led states have issued decisions that say the Bostock ruling does not apply outside of Title VII. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador has, on behalf of the state, added himself to a lawsuit by seven attorneys general challenging a Biden administration rule that preempts the state's restrictions on gender-affirming care. The new rule, which was set to go into effect in some cases July 5th, prevents health care providers who discriminate based on gender identity or sexual orientation from receiving federal funding through Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and other programs. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is a defendant in the lawsuit. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey filed the lawsuit in the Eastern Missouri Federal Court District Wednesday, arguing the rule conflicts with state rules prohibiting necessary gender-affirming care for minors, which often can prevent suicide among trans teens who have a much higher than average suicide rate. Idaho's new law actually criminalizes doctors giving necessary gender-affirming care to minors, including prescribing puberty blockers and hormones, with penalties of up to 10 years in prison. Although an appeal by the American Civil Liberties Union representing Idaho families is making its way through the courts, the U.S. Supreme Court in April ruled Idaho can go ahead and enforce the law, pending a final decision. Idaho also has a new law prohibiting the use of Medicaid money for adults who need gender-affirming care. That law is on hold for the seven transgender citizens who sued under a temporary restraining order from Federal District of Idaho Chief Magistrate Judge Raymond Patricio, but in effect for anyone else. The seven attorneys general who are suing the Biden administration over the rule preventing discrimination in Medicaid and federally funded health care are from Missouri, Idaho, Utah, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Arkansas. The Missouri Independent reports each of the states have varying restrictions on payments for gender-affirming treatment. Missouri rules do not allow payments for gender-affirming care for adults through Medicaid or the CHIP program. The attorneys general wrote in the lawsuit, states will be unable to enforce these duly enacted laws and longstanding policies without coming into conflict with the rule. Another coalition of attorneys general got a federal judge to block implementation of the Biden rule on July 3rd. In that case, the federal judge cited the decision in June by the extremist majority of the U.S. Supreme Court that overturned the longstanding Chevron deference, which gives federal agencies regulatory authority in cases where the constitutionality of state laws is unclear. The American College of Pediatricians, which is a group of 400 physicians and healthcare providers with a history of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, signed on to the lawsuit as a plaintiff along with the seven attorneys general. The attorneys general wrote, American College of Pediatricians members categorically do not provide medical interventions or referrals for and do not facilitate or speak in ways that affirm the legitimacy of the practice of gender transition. The lawsuit says the pediatricians who are members of the organization would suffer, quote, significant financial harm to lose eligibility to participate in federal health care programs such as Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP. A pediatrician in Utah is quoted in the lawsuit saying he would not self-censor his opinions on transition efforts if the rule goes into effect. The lawsuit says the Utah pediatrician, quote, faces the prospect of no longer caring for his patients, being fired from his employment, and being unable to practice medicine in most settings. The lawsuit also says the rule violates physicians' freedom of assembly, quote, it goes on to say, by forcing American College of Pediatricians members to not discriminate on the basis of gender, by forcing American College of Pediatricians members to tell patients directly on their walls and on their websites that they do not discriminate on the basis of gender identity, the rule forces American College of Pediatricians members to speak falsely, and it forces American College of Pediatricians members to fatally undermine their communication of their own medical ethical standards. The lawsuit also argues the Biden administration rule goes beyond congressional authorization by including gender dysphoria as a disability and by interpreting the term sex discrimination to include gender identity. The Missouri Independent reports the Biden administration rule preventing discrimination leans on decisions by some courts transferring the 2020 U.S. Supreme Court case in Bostock versus Clayton County, in which the majority of justices decided gender identity is protected under Title VII, which applies to employment discrimination, to Title IX and the Affordable Care Act. The attorneys general write in the lawsuit that judges from Republican-led states have issued decisions that say the Bostock ruling does not apply outside of Title VII. Spokane Valley resident Becky Graham reported racist graffiti over the weekend in a Spokane Valley park. Someone used spray paint to write large racial slurs and messages, including white power, at a public restroom at Green Acres Park in the city. The Spokesman Review reports local residents expressed concern for the safety of their neighbors and said the messages did not represent a neighborhood which seeks to welcome diversity. Crews quickly removed the graffiti at a cost of $3,000 to the city. The incident comes after the Coeur d'Alene City Council last week passed an anti-discrimination ordinance, which adds a misdemeanor charge to any crime committed with discriminatory intent. The Coeur d'Alene area has a long history of being a national hotbed for white supremacist activity, which also occurs across the border in Spokane. An incident earlier this year drew national attention when a women's basketball team from Utah was accosted while walking in downtown Coeur d'Alene by a local man who yelled racial slurs from his car window and called for other people in pickup trucks to come and harass the basketball team. The person who yelled the racial slur was not charged. Pullman Mayor Francis Benjamin says construction of the downtown revitalization project has reached its halfway point. The project costs $12 million, with approximately $9.5 million coming from the COVID-era American Rescue Plan Act. Construction, which has closed Main Street to vehicular traffic from Grand Avenue to Paradise Street, began in April and is expected to conclude in mid-October. The Daily News reports Mayor Benjamin said underground utility work on Main Street will continue until August, and the Kamiakin Street pedestrian bridge will be closed from July 15th until mid-August. Benjamin says after the utility work, crews will start sidewalk construction and street paving and building curbs and gutters. The city council approved the revitalization plan last year, but it has been controversial because some residents were upset over the cutting of mature downtown shade trees, and downtown businesses were upset about how the long street closure could impact commerce. The fact that the project will extend into the fall semester upset businesses, saying having the construction going during lucrative home football game weekends and WSU Parents Weekend for businesses that depend on students and their families will hurt them. There was pressure on the city council to adjust the timeline of the construction, although the council eventually decided the construction would be done in a single year instead of being spread out over two summers. The city predicts construction will be substantially complete in mid-August, with sidewalks and streets open to traffic. Contracted project design firm Welch Comer said the project will continue into the fall for some aspects, including landscaping. The design firm does not offer further details on its website about what downtown will look like during September and early October, or how the construction project will impact downtown. So far, those involved in the project report no substantial delays.
KRFP is sponsored by Mikey's Euros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine, such as Euros, falafel, hummus, and tabbouleh, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.
For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
The Northwest Power and Conservation Council, which is in charge of power planning in the region, has reported the Northwest's power grid could be pushed to its limits and beyond in 5 years because of the huge amounts of electricity going towards the booming data center industry. Members of the council said the region would have to find more sources of power if the data center sector uses the amount of electricity it's on track to use by 2029. Northwest Power and Conservation Council Power Planning Director Jennifer Light told the Seattle Times, "It's big and it's uncertain, but we're kind of prepared to think through strategies on how to figure this out." Data centers are warehouses filled with servers that store the internet's information. The International Energy Agency says data center power demands are likely to double worldwide by 2026, mainly due to artificial intelligence. The industry needs steady power around the clock, and Washington and Oregon have become a popular place for the data center industry to put up their warehouses because it offers that at a cheap price. The council has been running computer modeling tests to show how the power grid would be impacted by low-end or average growth in the data center industry. Because renewable energy producers plan on bringing more power online, and because of increases in efficiency, the region should have enough power for data centers and the rest of the power customers by 2029. With high-end growth of the data center industry, the scenario is more stark. According to a Northwest Power and Conservation Council report, that amount of power demand would require, quote, an unprecedented level of coordination and pace of development to overcome bottlenecks. The report says if there's not enough power, it would trigger emergency measures, such as increasing the number of times the Northwest Power Grid has to purchase expensive power from other markets. It could also trigger state conservation measures, and there could be blackouts. Much of the new renewable power the Northwest has brought online is solar and wind, which are weather-dependent and not as steady as hydropower. According to the Seattle Times, a recent Pacific Northwest Utilities Conference Committee report said the increase in renewable power has not been able to keep pace with increasing power demands. The paper reports the region can accommodate more energy sector growth right now because instead of shutting down coal plants entirely, utilities in the region have converted the plants to natural gas, which is mostly methane. Washington's state law mandating a phase-out of fossil fuels takes full effect in 2045. Most of the mountain snowpack in Washington had melted off before the latest heat wave hit. Deputy State Climatologist Karen Bombeko of the University of Washington told Seattle television station KING snowpack was lower than normal this winter, so most of it melted 1 or 2 weeks earlier than normal in June. Low snowpack reduces the health and depth of rivers and creeks. The Washington Department of Ecology declared a drought emergency for most of the state in April, which allows more funding for state agencies that deal with the effects of drought and allows for more grants. The state's drought emergency excludes the cities of Seattle, Tacoma, and Everett. The U.S. Supreme Court last week declined to hear an appeal by gold miner Shannon Poe of California, who a lower court ruled violated the Federal Clean Water Act in Idaho over the last 10 years by repeatedly releasing suction mining waste into the South Fork of the Clearwater River. That leaves in place a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that Poe violated the Clean Water Act 42 times, starting in 2024, by dredge mining in the river without a National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit. The Idaho Conservation League and the law firm Advocates for the West spent 10 years documenting Poe's dredge mining and pushing the case against him in the courts. Idaho Conservation League Government Relations Director Jonathan Oppenheimer told the Idaho Capital Sun, "We're very encouraged. We're happy to see the Supreme Court reject Poe's argument and settle this matter once and for all." Noting Poe is expected to pay a $150,000 fine, Oppenheimer said, "It sends a strong message to others who would want to take a chance to dredge mine without the proper permits that they will have to pay a hefty price." He said Poe has already started paying the fine. The conservative Pacific Legal Foundation represented Poe. Pacific Legal Foundation attorney Frank Garrison sent a statement to the Idaho Capital Sun saying, "We will continue to fight against executive agencies' overreach, both in the Ninth Circuit and throughout the country." The Idaho Conservation League had trouble from the outset getting the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality and the Environmental Protection Agency to take action after Poe posted online about an Occupy the Water event in 2014 in which he invited others to conduct suction dredge mining in the Salmon River at Riggins in defiance of Environmental Protection Agency regulations. The Conservation League resorted to a citizens' enforcement lawsuit against Poe in 2018, but Poe continued to post online about his intent to dredge in Idaho rivers in opposition of EPA regulations. Idaho Conservation League staffers and contractors headed to State Highway 14 on the South Fork of the Clearwater River to photograph Poe. Oppenheimer said he was someone who was relatively easy to keep an eye on because he would announce his intention to come up and violate the law and then tell you where he was going to do it. Effectively, he was inviting someone, whether it was the Forest Service, EPA, DEQ, or in this case, ICL, to come up and enforce this.
KRFP is sponsored by Spectrum 2 Art and Dance Studios, specializing in art and dance classes for child
through adult. 525 South Main Street in Moscow. Information at 208-882-1445. UBU Dance Guru at msn.com or spectrum2studio.com. For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
We're continuing to bring you the resolutions delegates passed at the Idaho State Democratic Convention held in Moscow June 22nd and 23rd. Besides passing the party platform, the convention passed 9 resolutions. Here's the resolution on immigration policy read by Platform Committee Vice Chair Terry Pickens and passed by the delegates on June 23rd.
Whereas the United States is a nation built by immigrants who have contributed significantly to the country's economic, social, and cultural fabric, and whereas comprehensive immigration reform is necessary to address the complexities of the current immigration system, ensure national security, and uphold the nation's values of fairness and opportunity. Whereas President Joe Biden's administration has emphasized a balanced approach to immigration, prioritizing both border security and humane treatment of immigrants, while also addressing the root causes of migration. And whereas President Biden has proposed a comprehensive immigration reform plan that includes modernizing the immigration system, providing a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants, especially for Dreamers, essential workers, and temporary protected status, TPS holders, and enhancing border security with technology and infrastructure, and whereas studies have shown that immigrants contribute positively to the U.S. economy, including filling critical labor shortages, starting new businesses, and contributing to the tax base, whereas there is a broad consensus among various stakeholders, including businesses, labor unions, faith groups, and immigrant rights organizations, on the need for comprehensive immigration reform. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Idaho Democratic Party strongly support President Joe Biden's approach to immigration reform, which balances securing the border with honoring America's history as a nation of immigrants. Be it further resolved that the Idaho Democratic Party calls on the United States Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform that includes modernizing the immigration system to reduce backlogs, improve visa processes, and create legal pathways for immigration that meet the needs of the economy. 2, providing a pathway for citizenship for undocumented immigrants, particularly Dreamers, essential workers, and TPS holders. 3, enhancing border security using appropriate technology and infrastructure to manage this and secure the border effectively. 4, addressing the root causes of migration by investing in international aid and development programs in Central American countries to reduce violence, improve governance, and create economic opportunities. 5, ensuring humane treatment of immigrants and asylum seekers with fair and efficient processing of asylum claims and protection of families from separation. Be it further resolved that the Idaho Democratic Party will work with local, state, and national leaders to advocate for policies to reflect these principles and ensure that the United States remains a beacon of hope and opportunity for immigrants around the world. And so be it resolved that the Idaho Democratic Party urges Congress to act swiftly to pass comprehensive immigration reform in alignment with the principles and proposals outlined by President Joe Biden to secure our borders while upholding the nation's values as a land of immigrants.
That was the Idaho Democratic Party Platform Committee Vice Chair Terry Pickens reading the resolution on immigration policy that delegates to the State Democratic Convention passed at the convention in Moscow June 23rd. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, it will be mostly clear through at least Monday of next week with a low of 58 tonight, highs 92 tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday with a high of 90 on Monday, lows 58 Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. Currently, we have 88 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. There's also a PayPal option and a Patreon button, and you can also adopt a DJ. Once again, we'll take checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. We got help on tonight's newscast from Drew, and we'll be back tomorrow night with the KRFP Evening Report at 5:30. Have a good night. Flashpoints is up next, coming up at 7:30, appearing locally, featuring music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow-Pullman area. 8 o'clock, Maximum Rock and Roll. And we have substitute programming 9 to 11 tonight. Oscar is out, and at 11 o'clock, recorded jam band concerts till 1 a.m. with The Ride. So stay tuned, entertainment information and music throughout your evening here at KRFP Moscow Pullman.